Toledo, we're famous for Glass, Art Tatum, Tony Pacos, Jamie Farr, a world-class museum, the Toledo Mud Hens and Walleye, an outstanding zoo and public library system. But who are the people that make our city so great? Welcome to the Soul of the Glass City podcast. I'm your host, Monique. We are in the studio with two very important people, and I'm honored to have them because we just met and I was so impressed that I said, you know what? I really need you on my podcast because I know that my show cannot even encompass the amazingness that is you two. So I would like to welcome Dr. Valerie Walston and Jim Snodgrass.
Thank you for having us today.
Thank you, Monique.
Yes. So I have a bevy of really great questions because I couldn't have a PhD and a supply chain manager of like over a decade come on here and not have really great questions, right?
Absolutely.
I'm going to start with you, Val. You've had such a diverse career with significant roles in higher education, community engagement, and now leading your company, right? So can you share what initially inspired your passion for community-centered leadership and education?
That's a really good question. Sometimes, Monique, it's a choice when you do things or make a shift in your career, and other times it's not. Actually, my supervisor at the time said the data told us that we needed to create a community engagement department. And so I did just that. So I was kind of forced into it, but then I loved it. Just talking to community members, interviewing them, doing sponsorships, and really just trying to serve this Toledo community that I love.
And are you from Toledo originally?
I am not. I am not a Toledoan.
Okay.
I'm born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio.
So how'd you end up here?
The University of Toledo made me an offer that I could not refuse. I've worked for 5 universities, and the University of Toledo offered my first executive level position. And it helped that my mother is right up the street. I wanted to be close to her.
What are the other colleges you worked at? I would love to know.
I worked at, Johnson and Wales University. And they had a satellite campus on the campus of Old Dominion University, Hampton University, Brenau University, and the University of Toledo, which I've resigned from there recently. But the 5 universities that I've worked for have really given me a great foundation for what I'm doing now.
And you were at UT how long?
10 years.
Wow. My next question is, your leadership experience spans in multiple sectors. How has your role at, I think you're right now at the Toledo Urban Federal Credit Union?
Right.
Okay. How's that, influence your approach to how you work with the community and stuff?
I'm so glad you said that. So Toledo Urban is more, although it's a credit union, it's more of a agency. There's a lot of agency work that goes on, with serving the community. In fact, that's one of the projects that Jim and I are working on together, because although there's some banking that goes on there, the CEO has said, hey, we need to do more with our children. We need to do more with mental health. We need to do more with, empowering men, Black men particularly. So Jim and I are working on some projects in partnership with the credit union.
So now we have Jim. You have over 15 years of experience in supply chain and operations management, and you've probably seen a lot of things happen in that time that have nothing to do with, probably has stuff to do with mental health. But in that career path, how did you cross paths with this wonderful woman right here?
Well, actually, we were introduced through a friend in the community, through the university, and shared some of the same values, and we weren't working together. We were actually really just great friends, and she started doing some things inside the community that I was also passionate about, and then we just linked up and did it together. I think our first project was we did a mental wellness seminar that coincided also with the 20th anniversary for the African American Festival. So
And that was my next question. How does your combined expertise benefit the communities and businesses that you guys serve?
Well, we found that we're getting a really good feedback from people. For some reason, they like our dynamic and chemistry. I don't know if it's a, you know.
Sounds like a good podcast show, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, we've gotten a lot of positive feedback, and it's been really wonderful to share information and people receive it and can actually use it.
Nice. Dr. Walston, your focus on mental and financial wellness and your commitment to leadership development, how do you approach the, you know, intersection of personal well-being with professional growth in the workplace? Like, do you have any strategies that you've developed to support that work-life balance?
My real focus is leadership, wellness, and women overcoming obstacles. Jim is the numbers guy, okay, right? And so as we had conversations, it was very evident that his thing was faith, family, and financial wellness. So when you think about wellness, you have to think about global, right? Like, you know, mental, physical, financial, spiritual, all of the pieces of wellness. So one of my strategies is what you see here today, which is authenticity. Mm-hmm. How can we heal together as a community, whether it's a church community, work community, Toledo community, if we are not authentic to one another? So I'm gonna just tell you the truth too. One of the ways that Jim and I started working together, because in normal conversation, he was talking about like work he was doing with the church and the work that he's done on himself. I said, Jim, you are on to something. And it seems like men would be more prone to talk to him about mental wellness issues and all that. So when we had the all-male panel, I said, Jim, you are the guy. So
one hand washes the other.
So that's mm-hmm. a strategy too.
Yeah.
Put people in front of individuals who they will open up to. And Jim just happened to be that person.
Nice. Another question that I have for you and him is your involvement in all these different community initiatives, from the Boys and Girls Club of Toledo to the African American Festival. It obviously speaks to your deep commitment, you know, in the services that you do. How do you prioritize self-care while balancing your roles and demands in leadership? And how does it influence your leadership style? So this is a question I'm asking you, but I'm also asking him as well.
I'm going to let Jim answer, because he did something today that I feel like balances that. When we were talking, what were you doing?
Well, I was going for a walk. So I was actually on site at the career. And I go out. I intentionally go out to get vitamin D on my head, sunshine, and to get steps in. And also to piggyback with what Val is saying is the holistic approach, right, for wellness. So looking at emotional, mental, physical, financial, spiritual health, right, because it's all a balance. So in addressing that, you need to be aware of what you where you're hurting. Assess your feelings. What is it that I'm feeling, right? Why am I upset because someone, you know, said I look terrible today? Where does that validation come from? Do I not believe that I look good today? Or, you know, so it's just little tools.
Jim, you do look good today.
I agree.
And you look absolutely wonderful.
I agree.
Beautiful. So thank you. But, you know, we really want to, you know, give tools and techniques that have helped and that have been used and successful, and just to pass it on. It's really that simple.
So for me, the same question. It's just real easy as far as making what is important a priority. I don't have biological children, but I love children. And so my work in the community is related to serving the children of this community. So regarding the self-care and all that, just like Jim, sometimes you have to pair this stuff together. I'm a licensed Zumba instructor. So if I'm teaching a workout, you're going to get the workout in. I also had, you know, weight loss surgery, and I'm not shy about it. I tell people, listen, if you've tried everything to lose weight because your weight is related to your care and you haven't been successful, go ahead, have the surgery, do what you need to do so you can't eat so many hamburgers and honey buns.
That sounds so fun. And I didn't expect that, but thank
it's
you.
It's the truth. That was my problem.
I got you. You recently took the TEDx stage in the last couple of years, right? And you were an MC at Ted Times Main Street, right? TEDx Main Street. And how did that experience shape your perspective? And, you know, was it a goal of yours, or did it just kind of happen? Or
so my goal is to actually have a TED Talk, and I haven't done that yet. So what it did was it humbled me, mm-hmm. because as the MC, there were certain training that I had to go through, because what I'm doing is actually supporting the other speakers. So I've gone through Toastmasters and all that other kind of stuff, but TEDx is just different. So it humbled me, because there's a different kind of training when you're walking into an entity like that to serve the individuals who are having their first TED Talk.
As a strong advocate, both of you, for diversity and inclusion, how do you incorporate these values into your work? And does it help you facilitate the partnerships that you've developed, like with the universities and the businesses?
I believe where that comes in at is the entire community, right? So, for example, you know, there may be some questions on African American Festival. Is it only for African Americans? No, it's for the entire community, right?
And I did see the whole community there.
Correct.
So amazing. Did I.
I didn't even know you were behind that. So now I was like, I was there. My daughter played in the band, and it was her first time, and it was amazing.
Well, Dr. Suzette Cow is the one behind.
I know.
We
I know. I know. I was
it.
Just yeah. saying, like, as a promotional force,
sure.
right? Yes.
Yep,
yes.
Absolutely.
Right. So this is for the community, right? You know, Toledo. Our Northwest Ohio community, we have a real jewel here, and I think that a lot of us who are born and raised don't recognize it, whereas Val, coming from Cleveland, she sees the greatness in Toledo and how we have a great village and community and how we support one another. And you can actually reach out to, you know, your city councilman or your mayor, because sometimes they're your neighbor, right? So that's a great thing that we have.
And regarding partnerships, you know, from my perspective, being a diversity or, you know, advocate, if you just look at what the need is and try to meet the need, it doesn't matter what population, you know, you're working with. Because I heard you say, you know, as an advocate for diversity, I'm an advocate for people, particularly, yes, women's voices. I want voices to be heard. But if you just look at the need, which is where the mental wellness kind of platform came from. Mental wellness, physical wellness, black, white, purple, green, doesn't matter your religion. We all need to be well physically and mentally. That's really the birth, the origin of the birth of some of the partnerships, looking at the organic need in the community and doing our part as community leaders to meet that need.
Absolutely. And if I may add, it's just really looking at the humanity, mm-hmm. right? Like, we're all humans. So where's the diversity and inclusion for humans? It's like, if you're a human, come join.
Right. Absolutely. You meet the requirement if right. you're human. Join. Right. Absolutely.
Looking ahead, what do you guys envision for the next chapter of your careers? What are some of the goals that you guys are working toward, both personally and professionally? And I know you have a big event coming up that's a nonprofit, you know, Women's Empowerment Summit. Please tell us about that.
So next chapter in my career, so interesting that you've said next chapter, because sometimes you create the next chapter, sometimes the next chapter happens to you. So it's real simple. I just want to do my part to support this community, particularly women, at the SOAR Summit. SOAR stands for Surviving Obstacles, Attaining Rewards. For every obstacle in life, there's a reward on the other side. So as far as my next chapter in the career, I just want to talk public speaking, helping people, consulting, you know, kind of what I'm doing today. But whether I'm talking to 5 people or 5,000 people, making the connection, letting people know that you really care about them. Some singularly, and other projects working with wonderful leaders and partnerships like Jim and I have created.
And for me, the next phase would be in the consulting, lecturing, and working in the mental wellness. And again, wellness, I say mental wellness, but wellness holistically for the whole person. I believe in the family. Mm-hmm. So if you can get mom, dad with good mental health, then that can go to the next generation and they can be healthy too.
Well, I appreciate you guys joining me today. Just the love and the energy, it's so fulfilling. And I just am glad you guys took this time.
Thank you,
to be with me.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm your host and producer, Monique. My executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. Join me next time for another exciting episode of Soul of the Glass City podcast. For more information, if you have questions or comments, go to wgte.org/soul.
WGTE. Voices around us.